This is Spectator Radio. If you'd like to subscribe to The Spectator, you can get 12 issues for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and James Forsyth. So, is a Tory Labour Brexit deal in sight? The weekend papers have been filled with speculation that Number 10 are about to make their move and try and agree some form of customs arrangement, just don't call it a customs union, with Jeremy Corbyn. James, can you see white smoke coming up from Downing Street when the two sides meet this afternoon?
So I think there is more optimism on the Downing Street side of things than there has been previously, because they look at the local election results and what they were wondering is what was the pressure on Labour to do a deal? And they think these results that show Labour doing badly in the north, losing councillors because of its position on Brexit in some places, helps put pressure on Labour to do a deal. And almost more importantly, strengthens the hand of those within the Labour Party who would like to get Brexit over the line against the kind of second referendum crowd. I think the other thing the government are doing is essentially offering Labour more and more to try and make it harder for Labour to say why they can't do the deal. As I understand it, this kind of compromise being outlined is there'd be a separate bill that would basically would put the UK to remain in what is called dynamic alignment with the EU on workers' rights. That would mean that if the EU did anything to change the condition of workers' rights, the UK would then follow suit. That's a big Labour ask. The second thing is this customs proposal. And what Number 10 are hoping that they can get agreement to is a customs arrangement that would essentially be virtually the same as the customs union, but as you said, you know, there's a rose by any other name, smell as foul, and then optionality about the future. So you would try and put into law the Tory option and the Labour option and put them into the political declaration. There is a fairly obvious problem with this, though, which is the preferred Labour and Tory positions on customs are not positions that the EU accepts. You know, Labour want a customs union with a say, which is a problem because trade is an exclusive competence of a commission in goods. And the Tories want their so-called facilitated customs arrangement that basically allows the UK to keep the good bits of a customs union but have a power to set its own tariffs. So the European Union might scupper all this, but that, so those are the two things. But then I think the third and perhaps biggest problem is this issue of Labour and a second referendum. You know, it will be, you know, Theresa May will lose a lot of Tory MPs if she goes down this route. I think potentially Jeremy Corbyn could lose even more Labour MPs because his deputy leader Tom Watson wants a second referendum. His shadow Brexit secretary Keir Starmer wants a second referendum. And perhaps even more importantly, virtually the entire Labour whip's office want a second referendum. So I think anything that doesn't come with that is going to be a very hard sell for Jeremy Corbyn to his own side.
Now, one figure in Labour who does not seem to want a second referendum is Labour campaign chief Andrew Gwynn, who has written a piece for The Guardian today, suggesting that if you look at the local election performance, it's clear that the reaction on the doorstep from the talk about another referendum was a difficult message to explain and cost the party. Fraser, it sounds as though, at least when it comes to the official line from Labour, they are veering away from a second referendum.
Yes, it's come a bit late, though, to help those Labour councillors who were put to the sword in their hundreds last week. And we heard from the leaders of Sunderland, amongst other local authorities, that the talk of a second referendum is just toxic. So then, does that mean to say, right now, we need to get a Brexit deal done? Now they must come up with this customs union, this rose by any other name, as James calls it. But I don't think that's going to work, because there are still, right now, the Labour people we're hearing from a lot now are those who want absolutely nothing to do with a deal that, to quote Barry Gardiner, bails out the Tories. They don't want to do that. They don't want a kiss from this rose. They don't want anything to do with what's being cooked up between Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn. It's funny, 2 weeks ago I thought this would stand a reasonable chance of passing Parliament because I thought Corbyn would be able to bring enough Labour MPs with him, especially he'd be able to get the the people who might think, okay, dynamic alignment and workers' rights, procedurally, this is 90% of what we want, so let's just get it. But the politics of doing a deal with the Tory devil, I think, will be just too much. Now, if Theresa May can't get this over the line, this will remove her ability to threaten her party. There's a lot of Tories who thought she never actually wants to do the Corbyn deal. She just wants to say to them, look, if you don't back my deal, I'll do the Corbyn one. The only way of stopping this Corbyn deal from passing, because you know the numbers are there, is to all of you back my deal straight away. But it looks as if, as so often in the Brexit negotiations, this will all just lead nowhere.
When it comes to the Conservative side, I was speaking to one MP this morning, James, who made the point that although they personally perhaps don't have such an issue with a customs union, they are sceptical about the idea that this is going to be something that can pass the Commons, even if Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May get on side. And you could have a situation in which it goes to a vote. Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn are in the same voting lobby, but there still are not enough votes. What are the figures we're looking at? Because on one hand, you're hearing the Tories see a baseline of around 160 votes for a withdrawal agreement with a customs union, or another name for it. That's what I've heard from a few Tory MPs. Similar number to the number that voted for the withdrawal agreement the first time. But that means they were going to need a lot of votes from Labour.
I think this is the problem, because some people in government think that 160 is optimistic. And so the challenge is, where do you get those Labour votes when you consider how many Labour MPs are now committed to a second referendum?
And they would need another
160. Exactly. It's kind of 50-50 split. I think this is very, very difficult for them. I also think that there is the semantics here matters an awful lot. I think more Tory MPs would be prepared to go along with something if the idea was the next general election would settle the question. What they would find hard to swallow, which is what Labour would want, is a question to be settled, and all the Tories to be left with who want an independent trade policy is a hope that if you could win the general election, you might be able to go back and reopen it. These sound like they're small differences, but they matter an awful lot in this negotiating environment. I also think there is another problem, right, which is Labour have been very frank about, and it suits Labour to be frank about because it emphasises this. It is difficult because Theresa May has said she will go as soon as this passes. So you do this deal with Theresa May and it gets over the line by 20 votes or whatever, which is being optimistic. And then you have a new Tory Prime Minister who comes in, who was one of the people who didn't vote for it. And immediately, what have Labour got?
Now, if the two sides cannot come to an agreement this week, there is a chance that this then moves to another round of indicative votes, this time indicative votes on Brexit options put forward by the government. Were that to happen, there is an expectation that a second referendum could rear its head once again. And there's been talk that it would have three options proposed at first of no deal, Theresa May's deal or Remain. Fraser, when it comes to the numbers in the Commons for a second referendum, the conventional wisdom has been that there aren't currently the numbers there for a majority in favour of that. But it does seem as though, at least on the Labour side and perhaps on the Tory side, more MPs are slowly coming around. Today we've had Ed Vasey, the Conservative MP, say he is warming to the idea. Do you think there is a chance that if this is put to a vote in the next week or so, it could squeak over the line?
I don't think so, and I see it slightly differently. I see those who want a second referendum becoming harder in their insistence for one. So we have people like Wes Streeting, the Labour MP, saying he will not vote for any May-Corbyn deal or any deal that does not have a second referendum attached to it. So people who are more strident and more explicit in their demands. And also that implies he would vote for a deal he didn't like if it did have a second referendum attached to it. But the fundamental question is whether a second referendum would settle anything. If people genuinely thought that it might knock Brexit on the head and then make everything go away, or back a deal and move Parliament on, that a second referendum might break the parliamentary logjam, then I think it would have more support. But you need to be pretty imaginative to think that it would. The country is still broadly split on Brexit, and then you've got to add the indignance of the British when asked to vote a second time after having given their answer the first time. And to that, you have to add the fact that still nobody's got the faintest idea what Brexit would look like. It's not as if we now are in a great position of clarity, whereas before we had confusion. So for as long as there is not a sense that a second referendum would do anything other than have a 1 in 3 chance of blocking Brexit completely, then I can't really see it pass Parliament.
Now, finally, one of the reasons Theresa May is pushing so hard to try and find a compromise agreement is so that if MEPs are elected, as we expect, from parties like the Brexit Party in the European elections, they never really have to take their seat. The UK will have left by that point. James, if she fails in the next couple of weeks to get an agreement through, do you think there is a chance that the European Parliament elections and the results could be enough to push Labour and the Tories again into looking at finding some kind of agreement if they start to see parties like the Brexit Party and potentially parties like the Lib Dems on the other end of the spectrum do very well?
Well, one of Number 10's frustrations has been that Labour's timetable has been, well, if we were going to do a deal, we need to do it before party conference in September, because at Labour conference in September, the overwhelmingly pro-Remain, pro-second referendum membership would almost certainly impose on the leadership a policy of backing a second referendum in all circumstances. Number 10 have been tearing their hair out trying to say to Labour people, that's too late, because we might not survive the European elections. If you want to do a deal with us, we you know, and a new Tory leader isn't going to want to do a deal with you, almost certainly, you know, we might not be here after the European elections. And this is the challenge for her, which is, you know, I think one of the things that we find difficult in Westminster is when people say exactly what they actually mean. And when that rule change, which would allow another Tory vote of no confidence in Theresa May, was defeated, Graham Brady said the executive of the 1922 committee decided not to change the rules, but to ask the Prime Minister for more clarity on her departure date. They meant what they said. And yeah, he is seeing her today. And I think if there isn't more clarity from her, she can't just say, oh, when the withdrawal agreement passes, then I think the prospect of a rule change will become more likely. I was saying on Saturday that already one of the nine who voted against the rule change, and remember the vote was 9-7, two abstentions, has changed their mind and has now told colleagues, if she doesn't name a date for a departure, in the next 3 weeks, if she doesn't say when she plans to go, with a kind of hard date rather than an outcome, then they would vote to change the rules after the European elections. So this is the problem for Theresa May.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Fraser. And if you like this podcast, why not subscribe if you haven't already, and also leave a review on the iTunes store. And we also have an offer that you may have heard of before, but this time it's slightly different. 12 issues for £12, along with a £20 voucher for Amazon. Just go to www.spectator.co.uk/voucher.